Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can sing there is a wideness in your mercy and your love for us. And as we dwell in that love, may you open our hearts and minds as we come to look and engage with your word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever got an invitation in the post, or has someone ever asked you to do something, or have you ever come across someone, or that kind of scenario? And the first reaction in your brain, in your head is, that's the last thing I want to do. That's the last place I want to go. That's the last person that I want to meet. That's the last thing that I want to do. Well, in a sense, I share that because on a personal level, as we come to this passage, in some ways, that is my reaction. That's the last thing that I want to look at. Or in the challenge of the passage, in a human sense, we might say that's the last thing that I want to do. So keep that in mind as we come to our passage in a moment. Over these last 2 weeks, and it's always good to recap, we've been looking at some of the one another commands or passages. Love one another, encourage one another. And as we've done that, in some senses, what we have heard has been easy to buy into. That call to love one another, it sounds nice. That call to encourage one another, to help each other in difficult times, that sounds doable. But as we come to our third one another passage, it is going to challenge us. In many respects, it's going to bring us out of that warm and fuzzy feeling of love and encouragement. And in all honesty, I would rather not preach on it. In all honesty, I could have ignored that passage and it could never seen the light of day in terms of this sermon series. But I think we would be lesser off for that. I think I would be lesser off for that. Because sometimes in life we've got to deal and engage with those very things that we would rather not. We cannot airbrush a difficult passage of Scripture. All Scripture, we are told, is useful. So we can't airbrush out passages because they may be more difficult or they may demand more of us. And especially passages, as we will see, are at the very core of what the Christian message is all about. So all I can say for now is let's jump in. Let's see where the passage brings us. Let's see what I have to leave before you today. At this point, it would be good to turn to the weekly passage from the Pew Bible or the weekly sheet. But as we turn there, let me give you a little bit of background to the passage. The letter is written by the Apostle Paul, as many of the epistles are. At this stage, he is in jail, and he's writing to a group of believers, to one of the newly established churches in Turkey, in a place called Colossae, hence the letter to the Colossians. And their church community has become divided. It's become divided over the issue of who Jesus is or isn't. There have been some false teachers who have permeated into that community, and they are teaching, and we often hear this description today, that Jesus is merely human, that he is just a good teacher and a good man. And Paul writes and challenges that and addresses that head on. And he reminds in this book broadly that Jesus is fully God and fully human, that he is the Redeemer and the Creator of the world. And Paul encourages this group of believers to heal and come together as a church community round the core teachings of the gospel. And as we pick up our passage in Colossians 3 verse 12, we see that Paul first gives the believers a list of virtues, the kind of characteristics that should describe who and how they are as a church community. Read along with me, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All very good and noble characteristics. All characteristics that should be part of a church community. Then we get to that challenging verse. Again, follow along with me. Verse 13 of Colossians 3. When Paul says this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives. Now what I want to do is break that into three parts. If I can, in some respects, give you the image of a sandwich in your mind. The first part is one slice of bread. Bear with one another. The second part that I want to look at, forgive as the Lord forgave, is the other slice. And then the forgive one another is the filling in the middle. So bear with one another. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can have a sense that Scripture at times feels a bit lofty. It feels a bit up there. But not in this particular verse and passage. It seems to me that Paul is writing in a very earthed way. Now, to use a modern phrase, as we unpack it, I think Paul is recognizing this, that the church then and the church now is made up of all sorts of people. As we look around here today and as we think about the churches that we have been part of over our lives, it is made up of all sorts of different people. And thank God for that. It would be very dull in life if we were all the same, wouldn't it? But when a place or a church is made up of all sorts of different people, naturally you get different views, you get different opinions, you get different wants, you get different needs, you get different challenges, you get different voices. And potentially that leads to conflict. So Paul is recognizing, he is saying that as a church, we should recognize that we are all different. We should recognize, though, that we are part of a common family, that we are part of God's family. And in most families, when we know our differences and when they come head to head, we give each other a little bit of leeway. We give each other maybe a little more understanding. Why? Because we're part of family. And I think Paul is saying exactly that. That as God's people, part of God's family, that we should give each other more tolerance, more leeway, more space. That we should bear with one another. That we recognize that we are all different. And as I say, thank God for that. So that's the first part of the sandwich. Recognizing that we are different, but that we are part of the same family. And so to go to the other side of the sandwich, we hear Paul write these words, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's a core teaching of the Bible, that sense of God's forgiveness. Without that sense of God's forgiveness, there would be no Christian church. There would be no hope. And the very core symbol of that, of course, is the cross. That phrase brings us to the foot of the cross. And we know it is at the foot of the cross that we are all equal before God, that we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Because of God's love for us, because of Jesus on the cross, because he takes our sins upon his shoulders, that we can know God's mercy. It's why, again, we can sing there's a wideness in God's mercy, that we need not fear coming before God, because we know that God forgives us. And we also know, as we come to confess each week, as we do as part of our service, that God continues to love us, that God continues to forgive us again and again and again and again. Why? Because we're part of his family by faith. Because he loves us as his children. That's the second part of the sandwich. We're different, bear with one another. God loves us and forgives us. It helps us then think about the core phrase in verse 13, where Paul writes those three words, forgive one another. It's the hard bit. As I've said often, we can read God's word, we can engage with God's word, but unless we apply it into our lives and into the life of our church community, then it will merely remain a shallow exercise. And as I share what I'm going to share, let me say this. I am nervous in that sense. As I've said, it is a passage that could be easily avoided. As I share and think about what this demands and challenges of, I am not being glib in what I'm saying. I'm being honest in what I'm saying. I, like all of us, struggle with the concept, in a human sense, of forgiving those who have hurt me. The truth is, when you're part of any church community, there will be that potential. And yet, as a Christian, I believe, as God has forgiven me, that I am to do the same for others. So let's see what might be useful to think about. As we meet this challenge head on, let me offer just some thoughts as to what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't. For me, forgiveness is not approving of what someone has done. Forgiveness is not excusing what someone has done and explaining it away. Forgiveness is not denying the hurt that has happened to us. Forgiveness is not justifying what someone has done. Forgiveness is not about refusing to take that hurt seriously. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness isn't a lessening of the pain of that hurt. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. Forgiveness is not pretending we are not hurt. So what is forgiveness? Well, this is what I lay before us. Forgiveness is turning from the foot of the cross where we are forgiven and reflecting that outwards. Forgiveness is offering the same as what God has offered us. Forgiveness is seeing others through God's eyes. Forgiveness is a choice to love, even when, humanly speaking, we might feel that someone is unlovable. Forgiveness is an act of grace. Forgiveness is a promise that we will no longer relate to someone on the basis of their past, that we are willing to draw a line and move on. Forgiveness is letting go. Forgiveness is freedom. And for me, forgiveness is a gift. It is a gift that we offer. And perhaps it is only in God's strength that we are able, as human fallible beings, to forgive one another. Forgiveness is not easy, but it's what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do as God's family together, as we bear with one another, as we think about God's love for us. It is what we are called to do because it is a response that is different, because we have been forgiven by God through Christ. So today I just simply lay this before us. What might Paul's words, forgive one another, mean to us as a church family? What might it mean to us today? What might it mean to us as we journey into the future to not only love one another and encourage one another, but also in God's name to offer the hand of forgiveness one to another when we hurt? Paul concludes his call to forgive one another with these words at the end of the passage. And what I want to simply do is turn those words into a closing prayer as we think about forgiveness within God's family, particularly to turn those words into a prayer. So let's pray together as we think about how God challenges us through his word today. And over all these virtues, writes Paul, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So my prayer is, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since as members of one body we are called to peace. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. And whatever we do, whether in word or deed, may we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To which we all respond, Amen.